Amen. We're going to continue today on the series entitled New Things. And I was studying, praying, seeking God's face, thinking about how in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And right there, God made a brand new creation. Amen. And everything was perfect, wasn't it? Until man sinned. Amen. And the Lord found a way by the shedding of the blood that man's sins could be forgiven. And we know that God would send his son, Jesus Christ, to give his life and pay the penalty for man's sin. And Jesus was crucified, he was buried, and he rose again on the first day of the week. Jesus had said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Amen. Everything we know, everything we see is going to pass away. And Jesus said, "But my words will never, they will not pass away." Amen. Thank God for that. What were some of the words that Jesus said? Jesus said, "You must be born again. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Amen. "And I will come again." If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where ye are, or that where I am, you may be also. Revelations chapter 21. Revelations chapter 21. "That where I am, there ye may be also." Now, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus ascended up off Bethany's mountain into glory, and Jesus had gone back to heaven to prepare. Amen. In Revelation chapter number 21, verse number 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven." There's our word, prepared. He said, "I'll go away and prepare a place, that where I am, ye may be also." And in Revelation 21, we have a new heaven and a new earth, and we have New Jerusalem prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." This morning, we want to preach on this thought, the promise of all things new. Hey, hallelujah to God. Father, would you help us this morning as we preach the word of God, that Father, you might forgive us of our sin, cleanse us of ourselves. Help us, God, I pray, Lord, that you'll just fill us with the power of the Holy Ghost. Help us to preach in the power and the demonstration thereof. Lord, pray today. God, I pray today that, God, you'd allow my mind, my body to be used, my mouth as an instrument from glory, Father, to speak to your people, that we might receive help and instruction and guidance and encouragement and hope from an eternal God. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for all that you do and for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm thinking here, Revelation 21, don't lose your place. But I want to flip back real quick to 2 Peter chapter 3, just to read a couple of verses that's on my heart as well. In 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse number 9, the Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Everything we know about this earth and the heavens that surround it are going to be destroyed, burned up. Somebody said to me the other day, said, I want things to go back normal. I plan on staying right here. Not me, honey. I'm not staying here. This world is not my home. I'm moving on. I'm a citizen of another land. This world, as we know, it's going to burn. It's going to be destroyed. It's going to be dissolved. But praise God for a new heaven and a new earth. And God is preparing people. He's made us to be new creatures. Amen. Say amen. Once we've been saved, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. It's going to take us to be made new to go into that new city, that new heaven, that new earth. Thank God for it. Now, I was studying about the last 10 days or so, and I come across an article that said that NASA has discovered an extraordinary object, bright object in space that is pulsing different than any other object they've ever seen. In fact, they've got sound off of it that is interrupting radio waves every 18 seconds. Now, I don't know what that is, but I thought it could be New Jerusalem on its way down. It said it's 4,000 light years away, they estimate, but God could bring it just like that today if that's what he wanted to do. We know he's going to rapture us home. There'll be 7 years of tribulation on this earth, amen. And then, thank God, he's going to defeat the devil. He's going to put him up for 1,000 years. I thank God for somebody that's going to shut the devil up for 1,000 years. Amen. And then after 1,000 years, he's going to be released for a little season. He's going to be defeated. And all the dead, the wicked dead, are going to be raised up to stand before God at the judgment. Amen. At the great white throne judgment. They'll be thrown off in the lake of fire. And the devil will too. I get excited that God is about to do new things. Now, there's some things about the promise that God's made us that I want to point out this morning. Number one, there are some things missing from the city. Some things that are missing. When heaven and earth, what we presently know, when they pass away, when they're destroyed, a new heaven and a new earth, a new Jerusalem, there are going to be some things missing from the city. There are things that will never set foot in the city. We're going to be leaving some things behind. Number one, look with me in verse number one. There was no more sea. Now, John is our writer, led of the Holy Ghost. The Lord has John exiled to the Isle of Patmos. He's separated at least 35 miles away from land. And if you will imagine, on that island of Patmos, the sea to him was a prison. He's completely surrounded. He is separated from all that he knows, from all that he loves. But thank God, one day when we get to heaven, there'll be no more sea, meaning no more separation. No more separation from Jesus. No more separating for our loved ones. Amen. We'll be with them united. Say amen. Forever and ever and ever. Thank God for it. No more sea also means, think about the waves of the sea. Always crashing, always tossing about. Hey, no more sweeping of the waves. There's been a lot of us, amen, we've been tossed about, tormented, but there's coming a rest to the people of God. We're going to be at perfect peace. Amen. No longer tossed to and fro by all the problems and what the government says and what the media says and what the devil says. Thank God we'll be in a place where we're not caught up in the sweep of the waves anymore. There'll be no more storms. Amen. How many storms have been on the sea of life? Think about your life. how many storms you've come through already. How he's blessed you to come through another storm. And you may be getting ready to go through another one. But honey, one day we'll never go through another storm again. Amen. There'll be no more sea. There'll be no more shipwrecks. I think about how many people that I've seen in the storms of life that have suffered shipwreck. Paul suffered shipwreck 3 different times. How many wrecked homes, how many wrecked lives have you and I seen on this earth? But thank God, honey, we're going to a place where there's no more shipwrecks. Hallelujah. Look with me in verse 4. Here's another thing. The Bible says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Number 2, there'll be no more suffering. Amen. In heaven, there'll be no more death. There is no cemetery in glory. Thank God for that. There are no more funeral homes. There are no more death wreaths. There are no more hospitals. No more crippled children's homes. No more cancer centers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No more death. Look on. No more sorrow. Hey, there'll be no more broken hearts. Have you ever had a broken heart? Have you ever laid awake for day after day after day with a broken heart? Honey, when we get to heaven, there'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no broken hearts. There'll be no worry. There'll be no anguish. There'll be no misery. Thank God for that. He says there'll be no more pain. Woo! No more sickness. As we mentioned, no more cancer. Thank God for it. Oh, no more COVID. Whoopee! No more disasters. Listen, he says there'll be no tears there, nor crying is what he says. Tears shall never stain the streets of that city. How many times have you wept? How many times have you cried on this earth? And yet we try to remain happy. But one of these days, honey, can you imagine it? We're going to a place where our God has made all things new, where death and sorrow and crying, weeping can never, and pain can never get to the streets of that city. That's my home, youngins. Hey, there's some things that are going to be missing from the city. Amen. Look with me in verse 22. There'll be no more sanctuary. Now listen, I love the house of God here. The little church God's given us here at Bethel. Praise God for it. I thought this morning as we came in with the weather, I thought about going to my grandparents' church. We'd do good to have 30, 35 people. We'd be a major crowd. And man, on mornings like this, we'd have still be 30 to 35 people. Everybody'd come. Some of them walked. Amen. It's just a little old bitty church. I thank God for being raised up like that. It's been a blessing. Amen. And I praise him for it. But one of these days, you won't have to get up and take a shower and get yourself gussied up to go down to the house of God and sing and preach and pray and worship and then go back to the house and only get to go do it 3 times a week. In heaven, we'll worship forever. In heaven, we'll never have to leave. We'll just stay with him forever. In verse 22, he says, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Amen. I read in verse 3 that the tabernacle of God is with men. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be their God. One day we'll worship him forever. Oh, listen, every now and then here on this earth, once a year, we have a homecoming service, right? And we'll have preaching and singing and shouting and testifying. And we might have dinner here on the grounds. And after it's over, we all go home, but not in heaven. We'll worship and sit around the table and worship and in a sanctuary with him. We'll worship and worship. He is our sanctuary. He is our tabernacle. Thank God for it. Verse 23, look at it. Here's another. There'll be no more sun. The S-U-N. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. Woo-wee! Hallelujah. The other night I looked around here, it was a snowing, a wind was a blowing, It was cold. People was staying in, and we was longing for the sunshine to raise up and start to shine bright and to melt some of this snow off so that we could have light and to get back outside and start moving around again. But one day, honey, when we get to that new city, when we get to that new heaven, amen, there won't be, listen, there ain't going to be no darkness there, but there won't be no sunshine to light it. Jesus will be the light thereof. Can you imagine the glory of God and how the Lamb of God shines in that city? Amen. Now imagine with me this morning, we were longing to see the sunshine get up. It is 864,938 miles in diameter. It is 91.5 million miles away. And we hope that today it'll be 34 degrees if the sunshine does its job. But yet that sunshine is so bright that you cannot look into it, and it's 91.5 million miles away. And yet one day, Paul, as he was Saul on his way to persecute the church, he said, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me. And it knocked him off his beast, and he fell on his face in the dirt of Damascus. Hey, how much greater did the light of the glory of the Lamb of God shine than the sunshine is? Jesus is the one who hung the sunshine. And as we all know, in our galaxy, the Milky Way, there are brighter stars even than the sunshine. And honey, I have an announcement, and I'm going to need an amen. I serve a God who outshines greater than any shining object that the Milky Way has to offer. And I'm going to see him, and I'll have a new body, and I can take looking at him and bowing before him and worshiping him. One day, thank God, listen, there'll be no sunshine there. It'll be S-O-N shining there, amen. Well, hallelujah. I get excited. I can't help it. Look at verse 25. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. There'll be no sunset. Sunset marks the passing of time. But in the new city, in the new heaven, there is no time. It's just one big, long day. I mean, since your loved one passed, how many long nights have you endured? How many times have you cried and wept, longing to see him, longing to fellowship, longing to embrace? Honey, we'll never say goodbye in glory. It's just one big, long, eternal day. Thank God for a place that you and I can go to where there is no sunset. It's eternity forever. You see, sunset is a picture of death, is the closing of something. But when we get to heaven, it'll be forever new. Nothing closes. Nothing shuts down. There'll be no COVID to shut things down. They won't close the gates and say, sorry today, we're closed. We're out of employees. Sorry today, we're closed. We've got COVID here, quarantine. No, thank God, the cancer and the COVID, they can't get there. Woo! What a place. A city called glory. I'm still on the first point, I think. But listen, look at verse 27. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. There'll be no more sinners. Not in heaven. Not in the New Jerusalem. Sinners will not go into heaven. Well, preacher, there and I'm going. Well, then you've been redeemed. You had to have your sins forgiven. If you want to go to the heaven I'm talking about, amen, you're going to need to have your sins put under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, including yours truly. On my way to hell with a hammer down. But I heard a message that Jesus gave his life that I might be saved, that my sins might be forgiven. And thank God I bowed on my knee and asked him to forgive my sin, which were many, and save my soul. And what did he do? But forgive me, save me, redeem me, and call me a child of God. And now I'm on my way to heaven. I say bless his holy name. What a Savior! Hallelujah. There'll be no sinners there. Well, Preacher Darren, listen, if you reject Christ on earth, no heaven for you. If you reject Christ here, he rejects you there. That's just the policy, amen. There'll be no sinners. Aren't you glad this morning you're saved? I'm glad I know beyond any shadow of a doubt that I am saved. I've been born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't care if you're part of the 33, 35, or the 100 that's sitting around today, or if you're sitting on the couch at the house or laying in the bed or got your cell phone up to your ear. You hear me? You'll not get into heaven unless you come by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what verse 27 says. Let's just go back. Look at chapter number 20. Oh, here's another one. There'll be no more Satan. Amen. Amen. Yes. Chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. You may say, Preacher Darren, I thought you said there's no more night. I said there's no night in New Jerusalem. I said there's not no night in the new heaven. But in the lake of fire, there is night, there is torment, there is pain, there is suffering, there is misery, there is anguish, and he's going to be there, and he'll be tormented day and night forever. He's going to be busy, so busy that he can't get out. Woo! And one day, when we get to heaven, when we get to New Jerusalem, and we put our feet in that place, we've gone to a place that sin and its defilements and Satan cannot get to. Amen. Has he been nipping at your heels? Has he been trying to attack your mind? Has he been trying to attack your family? You ought to say, thank God for a place that the devil can't get to. Thank God for a new place that the devil has never set his foot in. Amen. Hey, I just want to say this morning, God has made us a promise of all things new. And one thing I'm excited about this morning is there's some things that's missing. Amen. From the city. No more sin, no more sickness, no more Satan. Thank God for it, amen. Number two, I'm getting excited about the promises of all things new because of the measurements of the city. Now look with me in verse 16 of chapter 21. The measurements of the city. Now look at this. This is, I'm a math teacher, and I deal with shapes and circles and squares and you know, pyramids and cones and parallelograms and parallelepipeds and all these parallelepipeds and all these things I deal with in school. But I'm amazed at the shape of the new city God has for us. Verse 16, the city lieth four square. There has never been another city shaped like this city. It's got a new design by a great God. He says, the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. What's this now? It's four square. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. Those furlongs, I measured it out. It's 1,500 miles. So that would be like going from Maine to Florida, all the way down the seaboard. That's 1,500 miles. And then get on the Atlantic Ocean, there at Nag's Head, and I measured all the way across just to about Denver, Colorado, another 1,500 miles. That's one city, folks. From Maine to Florida, from the Atlantic to past Denver, Colorado. But that's just 1,500 by 1,500. That's only 2.25 million square miles. That's one big city. But my Bible says it's four square. In other words, it's also 1,500 miles high. And I got to doing some math. The earth that we live on, if you take its area, it's 197 million square miles. It's a pretty big sphere that God has us living on. But if you take the New Jerusalem and you do 1,500 times 1,500 times 1,500 again, it's 3.375 billion cubic miles. That is more than 17 times greater than the Earth's area itself. One city. One city. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Four square. It's 1,500 miles this way. It's 1,500 miles this way. It's 1,500 miles this way. It's 1,500 miles this way in a cube. Right. Let me say it like this. If you got in a car, and there won't be any, but if you had a speed limit, and there won't be any, of 50 miles an hour, and you headed across the city just to cruise through town, it would take you 30 hours to get to the other side of town going one way. Then you've got to go 30 hours the other way. Then to get back across town to the other side would be another 30 hours. And to get to the end of it would be another 30 hours. That would take you 5 days at 24 hours a day just to drive at 50 miles an hour across that city. That is where we are going to live. Preacher, you're blowing my mind. Oh, no. He's blowing our minds. I'm just amazed by the measurements, by its shape, and by its size. Look with me in verse 17. As its strength, he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man. That is, of the angel. Now, a cubit, according to a man, is 18 inches. Do the math. The walls that support such a city are 216 feet thick. I'm looking at these walls. They ain't nowhere near 216 feet thick. They're not even a foot thick. Woo! Amen. What a city! 1,500 mile tall walls, 216 feet thick. Listen how quiet y'all get. Preacher, this is so great I can't even believe it. Honey, you can believe it. It's so great that he would give his son to shed his blood that a sinner might be saved. Honey, he's not just giving you a cabin. Nothing wrong with the song, but he's not giving you a cabin on the other side. He's giving you a mansion in glory. If every person, every man, woman, boy, and girl ever born should live and be saved and live in that city, everybody would have about a cubic mile to live in. And not everybody's going. Oh, that's one, number three. I got to move on. I think about the materials of that city. Verse 18. The building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Jasper. Jasper, like translucent. You can see right through it. Like what we might call a diamond. The walls. Translucent. And listen to me. The Bible says that the city, it's made of pure gold. Now, I got a wedding ring. It's 18 karat gold. Some of y'all have less or more carats in the gold that you have. But it's always got that yellow hue. And well, no, Preacher Darren, you can make it white gold. Honey, in heaven, gold is so pure, it's clear. Like transparent glass. Woo! My mansion is golden, so clear, it's like glass. Everything that's there, glory to God, is pure gold. Ooh-wee. Look at verse 19. The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was a jasper. We've already said that's like a diamond. It's clear. The second one, a sapphire. It's brilliant blue. The third, a chalcedony. It's sky blue with colored stripes. The fourth, an emerald. It's a bright green stone. The fifth, a sardonyx, a red and white striped stone. The sixth, a sardius, which is in red. The seventh is a chrysolite, which is transparent gold and got some yellow hues on it. Eighth is a beryl, which has got yellow
green, and gold. The ninth is a topaz, which is a yellow green stone. The tenth is a chrysoprasus, which is gold, gold tinted green. The 11th, a jacinth, which is blue or violet colored. 12th is an amethyst. It's a purple stone. You know what that's telling me right there? I don't know how he knew it. Those are my favorite colors. How did he know? Amen. Which one, preacher? All of them. When I get there, he said, "Welcome home, son. These are your favorite colors." Hey, the walls of the city, 216 feet thick, and a transparent gold like in the glass, they're garnished with these precious stones. You know what garnished means? You go out to eat and they put things to garnish your plate. It's not a steak. It's just garnishments. They're just there to decorate, to add flavor, to trim things out. Those 12 precious stones, there's no telling their value here on this earth if you had them. But in heaven, those are just the decorations. Those are just the trimmings. He's just trying to get things ready and gussy it up just so you'll be pleased. I say please. Thank God for the materials he's putting in that city. Look with me in verse 21. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. Oh boy, think about the pearls. Pearls, I mean, how valuable they are. And the gates, I mean, how high are the walls? I mean, how thick are the walls? The gates are, every one is a pearl. Can you imagine a pearl that big? And there's 12 of them? And the gates are open saying, "Welcome home, church. Enter ye in to the joys of the Lord." Y'all's mind's blown. Mine is too. The street of the city was pure gold as it were transparent glass. We're not walking on gravel. We're not walking on asphalt. We're not walking on concrete. We're not walking on blacktop or on dirt. We're walking on the street, which is pure gold, so pure it's clear like in the glass. Every place you set your foot. Well, you like wood floors and you like carpet. Some people like tile. He said, "Do you like gold?" Woo! Amen. What a place. I've got to move on. Look at chapter 22. He showed me a river of life. In fact, it's called the river of water of life. It flows from the throne of Almighty God. And verse number 2, in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. What about that? Just yesterday, someone from our church, I'll let it be anonymous to who it is, but they sent me a great big box of fresh fruit that was come from a farm, and it says, "The best fruit on earth." And it arrived yesterday. And you know how cold it was outside? It wasn't frozen. Man, I peeled one of them oranges. Pray, I about had myself a fit. It was delicious. Thank you so much for the gift. What a blessing. But it confirmed the message that one day that'll just be one of the fruits that I'll get off the tree of life. And it yields its fruit every 30 days in a place where there's no time. Woo! In a place where there's no night. Woo! Think about it, youngins. We 12 manner of fruits. The best fruit this earth has to offer is tainted with sin. Can you imagine how much greater it's going to be when we get to glory? One day, youngins, he's going to make all things new. Number 4, I'll be done. Number 4, I'm thinking about the master of the city. We're in chapter 22. Look at verse 13. Now, who's going to do all this? He said, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." I want to skip to verse 16. Look at verse 16. "Who is this? I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches." Now, his angel, I looked that word up, it means messenger. He said, "I'm delivering to you, my church, a message that behold, I make all things new. We sit here today and we've even got past our shout because we're blown away at the glory and how huge everything is. But you have no idea how great a God it is that you serve. And you think you have a problem. And you think you have an issue that nobody can fix. If a God that we serve can save us from a devil's hell, if a God that we serve can create a place like this for you and I, honey, I'm telling you, we don't have a problem he can't solve. And he sent me here today to tell you, behold, I make all things new. Will you look with me? I'm almost done. Look at verse 7. What does it say? Four words. Behold, I come quickly. Quickly. Verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. What does that mean? Swift. Faster than the twinkling of an eye. He's coming. Look at verse 12. We have a fifth. And behold, I come quickly. Look at verse 21. Surely I come quickly. Young as he's coming. And the only ones that's going to enter into that city to get to that place where there's no torment, no pain, no death, no sickness, no suffering, the only ones that'll get to go into that place are those that have bowed their knee to Jesus Christ and called upon his name and asked him to forgive their sins and save their soul. And I have been graced to be one of his youngins. How about you? I didn't get to the part about where he's going to give us a new body. Think about it. A new body, amen, one that can take all these things and one that'll never get tired. Look what John said. He said, even so come, Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, amen. I want to stop and say this and I'm done. Since Jesus loved me enough to prepare such a place, I want to love him enough to go. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Right. You stand to your feet. Behold, I make all things new. Hallelujah. Seth, if you come play. It might be somebody here today say, God, I just want to thank you for heaven. I want to thank you for a place that I can spend eternity with my Savior. I want to thank you for bleeding and dying, the pain, the suffering. I want to thank you for it all. I want to thank you for forgiving my sins. I want to thank you for saving my soul, saving my spouse, saving my children. God, I want to thank you for a place called heaven, a place where we can gather as one family and never have to say goodbye, a place that the devil can't get to, a place where there'll be no sickness, a place where we're forever have joy. Thank God for such a place. And today, Lord, I bow my knee and I want to thank you for preparing such a place for me. And I want to love you enough to go. Folks are coming. Folks are coming. Father, this morning, I want to thank you, Lord, for your glory, for your power, for your awesomeness. What a God you are. And Lord, with our little old human minds, we often underestimate the power of our God. But Lord, this morning as I bow my feeble head, Lord, I want to confess to you I'm a sinner. But I thank you for salvation through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that when I place my faith in you, you have saved me, and now I'm on my way to heaven. This earth where I am now will one day be dissolved. It will burn with fire and fervent heat. But Lord, I'm not a staying here. Lord, you're taking me home to be with you. That you prepared a city called glory and a city called glory that's prepared for a prepared people. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us, God, that we'd tell everybody, come see a man that told me all things. Come, call the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll forgive your sins and save your soul. We'll go to heaven together. God, thank you for a place called glory. Thank you for New Jerusalem. Thank you for a new heaven. Thank you for a new earth. Thank you for the plan and the purpose of Almighty God and allowing us to be in it. God, I've got family now that's not saved. And God, I'm worried about them. I'm praying for them. God, I don't want to have to say goodbye to them here. But Lord, one day I will if they don't get saved. God, I know you've done everything that needs to be done that they might have salvation. Lord, would you convict them another time? Would you speak to their hearts another time? God, I pray you'd save them before it's ever lasted too late. God, I give you glory. Lord, I'm so undeserving and I'm so unworthy. But God, I thank you that I've been made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. God, I praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.